All right. Listen, guys, we're going to just dig into it. I don't have much of an intro because my intro on my notes says keep it short. So here's how we're going to do it. I've been talking about this or that. Last week, Pastor Joey talked about this or that and the redemption and the reconciliation of Christ or that, what the world has to say. The week before that, I talked about, what did I talk about? They're all blending together. The fruits, thank you. Okay, the week before that, I talked about fruits. The week before that, I talked about hearers and doers, right? Man, I have so many. Okay, so anyways, I got to say this. My notes say part three because last week, Pastor Joey and I did not communicate. And I sent my notes before him, but then he showed up ready to preach a message. So I said, all right, you can preach. You haven't been here for a while. So we actually both expected to preach last week. So I kind of let Pastor Joey do it. So anyways, my notes say part three on them still, but it's actually part four. So anyways, tonight we're going to talk about this or that and a look at biblical contrast. And tonight I want to talk about a subject that is so big that this could be like a month-long series in its own. So we're just going to scratch the surface. There are so many topics. There's so many thoughts on this. But we're going to talk about light and dark. Oh, all right. Cool, man. Light and dark. You know, like Luke Skywalker versus Darth Vader. You know, the good side of the Force and the bad side of the Force. Whatever you want to call it. Light versus dark. So if you've got your Bibles with you tonight, let's just jump right into it. I don't think light versus dark needs much of an introduction other than the title. So if you've got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Ephesians. I got to say, I was going through some of my books at home. And I came across this Bible. This is like a Bible that I've had since like before high school. And, you know, it's fallen apart. But it's like the first edition of a Spirit-filled Bible. And one of the other pastors on staff started gawking at it. Because they're like, I can't find that version. That's the one I want. I'm like, I have it. So now it's become like my new favorite Bible again. So it's like finding an old friend. So if you wonder, man, where's Pastor Luke's Bible? Well, this is my Bible, all right? This is like my old study Bible, Days of Rhema. So anyways, Ephesians, the fifth chapter. I'm going to just read verse number 8 right now, and we'll get into it later. So if you got a ribbon in your Bible, we can come back to it later on in the afternoon, in the evening. Verse number 8, Ephesians 5:8. He's Paul the Apostle writing to the church at Ephesus. Says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Paul the Apostle telling the church says, listen, you were once darkness, but now you are light. Speaking of dark versus light and the contrast between the two, we can all understand that when Adam and Eve were put onto this place and God created Adam and God created Eve and they lived together in the garden. And you remember the story of the fruit of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. And God said, you can eat everything but the garden except for that. And then the serpent, you guys remember the story, the felt board story as kids, you know, the serpent comes and deceives Eve. She eats the fruit, realizes she's naked. She gives it to her husband. He eats the fruit, realizes he's naked. Boom, something changed, okay? That's where Paul the Apostle is talking to the church. He says, right there, off the bat, because of the wonderful decision that our forefathers and those who came before us, Adam and Eve, we can all thank them later for it. We were all born dark, okay? We have that inherent darkness within us. And it was only through God and through Jesus Christ, the reconciliation of that darkness that we came. And through Jesus Christ, through the Lord, we have been made light. So Paul encourages the church to say, listen, you were once dark, but now through Jesus Christ, you are light. I encourage you, therefore, to walk as children in the light. So Paul's saying, forget the old ways, forget the old nature, because that is not you. You are now a member of the body of light. And do not go back to those old ways. So we're going to take a look at some contrasts of darkness and light. Now remember, I said that there is so much of these two contrasts. I mean, every book in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, speaks to darkness versus light. So I mean, there is so much that it's almost impossible to just barely even scratch the surface. But I want to give you a couple points on each side, and we're just going to take a look at it. And just like what I've been doing is just kind of been going through it, and what the Bible says about each side, about what the Bible says about darkness, what the Bible tells us about light, and the thoughts of between darkness and light. And then we can apply them to our life, and we can see whether or not we are living in darkness or we are living in light, and we can see and point things out. Well, maybe that's something that I myself can work on here, or that's something I can grow and strengthen myself on here. So you guys ready to get into the Word of the Lord tonight? All right, let's touch on darkness first. You know me, I like to end on the high note, so let's start on the low note. Let's talk about darkness, okay? Dun, 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 da-da, dun, da-da, right, okay. Listen, if you got your Bibles with you, turn to the book of John in the third chapter. The book of John in the third chapter. Now, how many of you guys know that there's a really famous verse in the book of John in the third chapter? Does anybody know what that verse is? Well, okay, what is that verse? All right. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Remember that one? That whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Okay. So we know John 3:16. Verse number 17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved. So here's a disclosing statement before we get into verse 18. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, okay? But the world through him would be saved. Now, verse number 18, we're looking at the attributes of darkness. He who believes in him, capital H, Jesus Christ, is not condemned. But he who does not believe has not only believed the name of the only begotten Son of God, and this is the condemnation. So here we read that God did not send Jesus Christ to condemn, but then in verse number 19, Jesus comes along and says, but this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come into the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. So here looking at John the third chapter and verse number 18, when we're looking at the attributes of darkness, first thing we can see is that we understand, and we read in verse number 17, that Jesus Christ did not to come to condemn the world, but rather to save it. But verse number 18, he very clearly says that those who are living in darkness shall face condemnation, shall face judgment. So judgment comes to those who live in darkness. So here we read that Jesus did not come to condemn. So I want to just, I'm beating that one down, okay? Because I want to make sure that we understand that Jesus says, I came so that the world could be saved in verse number 17. Verse number 18, he says, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. Why? Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. And this is the condemnation, because God sent his son and we chose not to believe. You know that God has given us a free will, whether or not we choose to not believe in Jesus Christ. Whether we choose to believe or not believe in heaven or hell, whether we choose to believe or not believe in the principles of God, God has given us a free will choice. We were not born onto this planet as robots. We were not born onto this planet into a specific religion. Like, we were not born into Hinduism. We were not born into Christianity. Each and every one of us must make the decision for ourselves. And he says here that those who decide to believe not believe in Jesus Christ, to not believe that God sent his son and that he is the light, therefore face condemnation. So the look of darkness of those who if Jesus Christ is the light, which we'll get to in a moment, if the look of darkness is those who do not believe in Jesus Christ, therefore the look of darkness is judgment comes to those who live in darkness. Number two, I don't have points on these, I'm just bullet pointing them. In verse number 20, an attribute of darkness is darkness hates light. Duh. It's a good force, and you know, the good side of the force and the bad side of the force. It's like magnets, right? You try to put two opposite ends of magnets together, or no, it's two positive ends of magnets together, whatever. It's like, you know, when they reject. Darkness hates the light. In verse number 20, in the third chapter, Jesus Christ speaking here says, for everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come into the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. I think, did you talk about that verse about people? Yeah, last week in 1 Thessalonians, right? About those who get drunk at night. Those who sleep, sleep at night. See, I didn't want to go over what you were saying. So Pastor Joey last week talked in his message about Thessalonians. If you look, I mean, minus the person that is like the raging alcoholic, you know, when do people go and get drunk at night? When do people go and get on the dance club floor and do the LSD or do the, you know, the ecstasy, or, you know, get their nasty on or whatever? You know, when you read about all the, you know, you hear all the songs or whatever, whatever Lady Gaga's talking about or whatever, whoever the current pop star is, what are they talking about? Talking about nighttime, right? They're talking about parties. They're talking about clubbing. You know, you don't see the club bouncing at 7 a.m. you know, or at 2 in the afternoon, right? Because it's at the night. Why? Because darkness hates the light. Why? Because in the light, its deeds are exposed. In the light, when you see, we all have probably seen this. You know, you've seen people around and they all have fun and they socially get together and they get drunk. When? At night. 1 Thessalonians reads that. We know that in society, those who like to get drunk, they get drunk at night. But then you've seen the person that's drunk at 7 o'clock in the morning. And there's two different sides, right? I mean, you've probably all been around, you know, family members or friends, or you yourselves have probably been in that situation, some of you as well. I pray not anytime recently, but whatever. We'll give you a chance to write that later on. But you've seen the difference between a person that goes out, that, you know, it's acceptable, and then all of a sudden you see the guy that's staggering around, and he's drunk at 7 o'clock in the morning. Everybody's like, oh, dude, you know, woohoo, you need to chill out, right? That's the same thing, is because now the light is shining. The day is there, and it's unacceptable, therefore, to be drunk at 7 o'clock in the morning. It's unacceptable to show up to work drunk, right? So here he's saying in the third chapter, verse number 20, darkness hates the light. Why? Because darkness is like a cockroach. It does its business in the dark. And if you've ever had cockroaches in your kitchen or in your pantry or in your office, in your control room, I had a cockroach in the video room. When you turn on the light, what do cockroaches do? Poof, right? They scatter. They hate the light. Ah! Darkness hates the light. Why? Because its deeds are exposed. In the nighttime, you know, it's hard to see. It's hard to understand. It's hard to comprehend. Things are kind of fuzzy. If you drive on the freeway at night and all you see is the headlights, right? All you can really tell is what the light in front of you is doing and who's behind you by the lights behind you. You can't see miles up the road. You can't see cities miles away, right? You can only see vaguely in front of you. Darkness hides within its own state because it shelters itself, because its deeds are wrapped up in its own dark world. But when the light comes, it exposes the darkness, and people say, whoa, like the guy that's drunk at 7 o'clock in the morning. Whoa, your breath stinks, dude. Go get a job. Clean yourself up, right? Because why? The look of darkness is darkness hates light. Why? Because its deeds are exposed. Because the true nature of darkness shows in light. If that makes sense to you guys, you getting that one? When we see darkness compared to light, then you can see the true nature of darkness. You know, it's one of those things like, what I don't know won't hurt me, right? Like, you have cockroaches, or if you have mice, what you don't know won't hurt you. If you don't know that you have mice or you have cockroaches in your kitchen, how does it hurt you? You don't see them, you don't know. Then all of a sudden you turn on the light and you see the droppings, or you see the cockroaches, and all of a sudden you take a second look at your food, right? Because now all of a sudden it's tainted. Its deeds have been exposed. Just like darkness in our own lives, its deeds have been exposed. When darkness comes into our life and we live a life of darkness, our deeds are exposed when compared to the light. Now all of a sudden we look at the food, we talked about fruit of our life, and we can see the droppings around it. We can see that something has eaten into it and something is beginning to make it go sour. And why is that? Because now in the light, darkness's deeds are exposed. Therefore, darkness hates the light. We're talking about looks of darkness. If you got your Bibles with you, turn to Matthew in the 15th chapter. The look of darkness. Darkness has no direction. And in Matthew, the 15th chapter, Jesus Christ speaking here, in verse number 14. Jesus speaking about the Pharisees, and about those who are religious types, and those who are saying one thing and living another way, and trying to make themselves above above everybody else. Jesus calls them in verse number 7 hypocrites, and then he goes on to kind of commend them not condemn them, but kind of just like put them down, punk them, show them who they are. Right? The light is shining, and all of a sudden now their deeds are exposed. And Jesus comes and says to them in the 14th chapter, says, "Let them alone. For they are leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch." Darkness has no direction. When we live in our lives, darkness, according to how our flesh tells us, how many of you guys know, it's like walking around, the blind leading the blind. You know, with our feeling stick, or we're just kind of walking around. If you've ever walked around in your hallway at night or gotten up to get a snack in the middle of the night and it's pitch black and you're looking and you're feeling and you're trying to see, and all of a sudden, boom, there's the wall, right? Because there's no direction. There's no way to tell where you're going. So all of a sudden it's saying, hey, man, come follow me. You know, the politicians will tell us, You know, I've got the way. I've got the solution to get us out of debt. I've got the solution to fix everybody, to make everybody happy. You know, the religions of the world, mysticism, universalism, all the different types of religions that come and call themselves parts of Christianity. The ones that tell us that there's a specific day that the end of the world is coming. You know, the types of things that come. The darkness says, hey, come follow me because I've got the solution. But in the dark, they're going like this. Because darkness has no direction. Because how can we in the dark follow after the light if the light is not in us? So darkness, when you follow after the dark, when you look at society, why are things not getting better? Why are tensions in the Middle East not being resolved even though people have the answer? Even though our president or our politicians or other presidents and other politicians from other countries can go to countries and say, this needs to happen. This needs to happen. Let's all work for peace. Why doesn't it happen? Because when blind lead the blind, one side falls into the ditch. And darkness, when we live in a life of darkness within our own hearts, when we are absent from the presence of light, when we are absent from the presence of God, and we have God lacking within us, we are like the blind leading the blind, or nay, the blind following after the blind. Following after what society tells us, what music tells us, what the news tells us, what the politicians tell us, what our books and our philosophers tell us. We are blind leading the blind. We are blind following the blind. And Jesus says, if they do that, would they not fall into a ditch? So you can see the outcome. Not only does darkness have no direction, but the outcome of darkness is you're going to fall into a ditch. I don't know about any of you guys, but I could say in my life, there's been times where I've fallen into a ditch. And the only thing that's pulled me out of those ditches is the light. Because if we try to do it on our own, in our own darkness, remember Paul the Apostle saying that? We were darkness, we were born of darkness, but we were made into light. If we try to do that upon ourselves, what do? We might pull ourselves out of the ditch, cross the road, and do what? Fall into the other side of the road, into the other ditch. Because darkness carries no direction. Darkness has no direction. And finally tonight, taking the look of darkness. Darkness has no stability. John, the 11th chapter. You have your Bibles. I'm turning all over the place today, and it's good. That's why we bring our Bibles to church. Because we are children of the light. John, the 11th chapter. Verse number 9. Jesus says, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. Verse number 10, but if one walks in the night, he stumbles. Why? Because the light is not in him. It's like the blind leading the blind. You imagine, Jesus gave us the reference earlier about the look of darkness as somebody who is physically incapable of seeing. Okay, so the blind have no option whether or not they can see the light or the dark. If you close your eyes and you were to never open them again, it doesn't matter if it was day or if it was night, because you are blind. It is dark. Correct? You understand that? Now Jesus comes to say, listen, if you live in the dark and you try to walk around, you don't see anything. I'll give you the example like this. A couple years ago, my brother-in-law and I tried to climb. Oh, we didn't try. We did. We climbed Mount San Gregorio right here. You know, it's the one that has all the snow on it. Actually, from our vantage point, it doesn't have snow, but from the backside, it does. So we climbed Mount San Gregorio. We thought, oh, dude, we could do it in a couple hours because one of my friends did it and had no problem. So all of a sudden, we decide, oh, we can do it. We'll be back before daylight. We didn't bring flashlights. We didn't bring food. We didn't bring anything because we figured it'd be a quick day trip. Sure enough, we're walking down the mountain. It's 9 o'clock at night. I don't know if you've ever been in the forest where there's not campfires. It is dark. And we didn't have flashlights. All we had is our cell phones, and we're trying to do this. And there's rocks. It's, you know, there's rocks. There's trail. There's the, you know, parts of the river. Or the snow melt has washed the trail around. And how many times did we stumble or we fall or we, you know, we thought we heard something behind us. Like, is there a bear coming? But when we walked up the mountain, we walked up in the daylight. We didn't have any problems. We saw the rock in front of us. And check this out. We saw the hurdles, the steps of life. Oh, go around that. Okay. Right? But then we come around back in the dark, and those very same things that we had the ability to walk around, to maneuver past, we didn't see. Now I'm talking metaphorically there. I'm not talking physically. When we're in the light, Jesus says, when you're in the light, when you're seen in the day, you can see clearly ahead of you. Oh, Don't go there. You're recovering from alcohol, from partying. Don't go to that party. Walk around. You got the trail. Okay, cool. All right, I made it. But then all of a sudden, the darkness comes. That sin nature comes. The darkness of our lives, the absence of the presence of God comes and says, hey, man, there's a party going. Oh, dude, I don't see the trail anywhere. Where'd it go? Try to hold my little flashlight out. Oh, you know, I'm going to go this way. And boom, there we go. We fall right into that ditch again. Why? Because darkness has no stability. We don't know what type of ground we're standing on when we live in darkness. When we operate according to the flesh, there's no stability. Again, refer to society. Refer to the events around the world. Look at Libya. Look at Egypt. Look at Syria. Look at Israel. Look at the United States. Do you see stability there? Gas is $5 one day, $3 the next day. They say, oh, there's a hole in the ozone, and eventually the world's gonna heat itself up, and we're all gonna die, and the ice caps are gonna melt, and it's gonna be water world. Then other people say, no, it doesn't exist. Do you see stability in the world today? Look at the stock market. Look at the real estate. In darkness, when we try to do it on our own, when we try to live on our own, absence from the light, absent from God, on our own ability, we see. Jesus tells us right here in the book. In the Bible, it says, listen, man, you can see clearly when you're in the light, but when you get into the night, when the darkness fades away and you don't have any other way to see, then all of a sudden the ground becomes unstable and you don't know what you're walking on, you don't know where you're going, and you're going to stumble and you're going to fall. So the look of darkness, we see that darkness, those who live in darkness face judgment. Darkness hates the light. Why? Because it's exposed to its deeds. We see that darkness it has no direction. It's the blind leading the blind from one ditch to the next. And finally, we see that darkness has no stability. It's like walking on the trail at night. We have no clue where we're going. We have no clue if that was a bear that came up behind us or if that was just our imagination. Things happen in the dark. Now, you guys ready to get into the light? Get out of that darkness. Shake it off. You know, get rid of it. All right, now we're going to get into the high note. Let's talk about light. Tonight, if you got your Bibles with you, turn a couple of pages back to John, the 8th chapter. Tonight, speaking of light, number one and most important, Jesus is the light. Bing! If you don't remember anything that I said tonight, if you take one thing home with you tonight, if you took one principle, one little bullet, take this one with you. Jesus Christ is the light. Our own darkness, when we live in darkness, we are absent, what? From the light. Jesus uses the physical world as an example. When you see daylight, you see the trail. But when night falls, you don't see the trail. Jesus is referring to himself. When you see me, when I am the light that guides your way, hey, man, I can see the clear path ahead of me. But all of a sudden, when we are absent from the light, all of a sudden it gets dark and we rely on our own self. And we wonder why we live a life of depression. We wonder why we live a life that we can't find the way to get out of the ditch, or we find ourselves going from one ditch to the next. Why? Because we are not in the light. And if we realize that the light is not mysticism, the light is not philosophy, the light is not finances, the light is not get rich or die trying, the light is not about our possessions, but the light is Jesus Christ. Now all of a sudden, our path, our daylight makes more sense, because we can know that Jesus Christ is the light. In John, the 8th chapter, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in what? Shall not walk in what? Darkness, but have the light of life. Tonight, the look of light, number one and most important, Jesus Christ is the light. Number two tonight, looking at the look of light, we who are in Christ are in the light. Going back to John, the 8th chapter, verse number 12. I am the light, speaking Jesus Christ of himself, of the world. Look at that second part. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Does he say that he who is smart, he that gets a college education, he that invests wisely in the stock market, he that gets a political career and becomes president of the United States, he who gets a Nobel Peace Prize, he that realizes that global warming, he that this, he that that? No. He specifies, I am the light, Jesus says about himself. I am the source of light. And he who follows me does not live in darkness, but dwells in the light. So here we know that Jesus Christ is the light, number one. Secondly, if we follow the light, common sense, we live in the light, right? If we have a flashlight at a dark time and we shine it on our trail or on our path, how many of you guys know we see where we go? It's just like headlights in our car. Jesus Christ says, I'm the light of the world. We have a choice whether or not we're going to turn those headlights on or not. Right? We have a choice in our life, guys. Young adults in this place, we have a choice each and every day to make whether or not we are going to turn the headlights on in our car in our life and follow after the light or try to drive blind. The choice is ours, and it's up to each and every one of us to make that decision. So if we know now the look of light is that Jesus Christ is the light. Secondly, that if we are in Jesus Christ, if we follow after Jesus Christ, we are also in the light. I like this one because now we're getting a little deeper. If you've got your Bibles, you notice how I keep pushing that? If you've got your Bibles, because some people don't. You need to bring your Bible. Okay. Let's just say it, all right? For those of you who brought your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Matthew. For those of you who didn't bring your Bibles, bring your Bible. No, I'm not kidding. But I'm kidding when I say it in a scolding term. Bring your Bible because you want to walk in the light. Turn with me to Matthew in the 5th chapter. Here Jesus is talking, giving his famous sermon. And this is just like deep, all right? We've heard Jesus Christ refer to himself as the light. We've heard Jesus say that those who follow him are in the light. Verse number 13, it's not on the overhead. Verse number 14 will be. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled on the underfoot by men. Verse number 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Verse number 15. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Therefore, verse number 16, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Woo! Okay, so there's a little shift here. There's a little change in direction. We see that Jesus Christ himself is the light. He says, I am the light of the world. Light equals life. Jesus says, I have come to give life. I did not come so that I could condemn the world, but that I could save the world. We read that in John, the 3rd chapter. Jesus Christ is the light. Therefore, those who follow after Jesus Christ also are in the light. But now we see a change where Jesus Christ himself delegates the authority to have light to you and I. And now he says, not only am I the light, not only are you who follow me in the light, now you yourselves become a source of light. Dang. It's not just about following after Jesus and you know, okay, I'll do my thing and I don't have to say anything to anybody all the rest of my life. I can just go to church and I can praise, Lord, I am a tree. And expect, you know, I'm living in the life. I'm living in the light. No, Jesus says, no, it doesn't end there. That's just the start. Great, you've acknowledged that I'm the light. Now you see, hey, I'm following you. I'm living in the light. Now there's a change. And he says, you yourself becomes a light. He says, a city that is set upon a hill cannot be hidden. You don't light a lamp. You know, back in the day, they had lamps like Aladdin. You know, just say like this. You don't turn on a light and put a basket or a blanket over it. Number one, that's a fire hazard. Secondly, it does no good. Jesus says, there is no good in turning on a light and hiding it. If you were kids, you remember to hide it under a bushel. No, this little light of mine, right? We were taught this from the beginning. Then now all of a sudden Jesus Christ says, listen, I have delegated to you because now that you have followed after me, you should shine a light so that others around you can see the light. And why is that? So that your good works would be known. Why does he say that? What does he specify at the end of verse number, 16? What does he say? My page turned. Verse number 16, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works. Why? And glorify your Father in heaven. So it's not just about you and I coming to church and raising our hands during praise and worship and say, man, that was great, and go back to our life and say, yeah, I'm following after Jesus, I see the light. No, now he says all of a sudden, you, if you follow after the light, you are in the light. Now all of a sudden you become the light so that others can see that there is a change within you and you are now a city on a hill. You are now a light that they've taken the cover off. They flipped the switch on and you have illuminated the area all around you and your circle of influence, whether it's your family, your school, your friends, now should all see the light. Because you and I, each one of us, if we decide to be so, are the light of the world. Ding! I don't know about you, man, but that's deep. That's deep. Jesus, you know, we can leave it there. Yeah, man, Jesus is the light. Praise God, he's the life. You know, he came to give us life more abundantly. But Jesus says that's not the end. It's up to you and I to be the light. Finally tonight, if you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Psalms 119. We go in old school. Long chapter. Verse number 105. If you've ever prayed with me after service, if you've ever asked me to pray for you, oftentimes you might have actually heard me quote this in my prayer. The psalmist here writing says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And if you've ever heard me pray, or if I've ever prayed for you or with you, I've always said, you know, Lord, let your word be a light into our path. Why is that? Because God's word lights our way. Jesus Christ himself is the light. We who follow after Jesus live in the light. If we live in the light, therefore we become the light. And what guides our way is God's word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. So how do we maintain a life living in the light? How do we not go back into the darkness like Paul the Apostle says? Walk, remember, we read in Ephesians. He says, you are children of light, therefore walk in the light. How do we do that? By allowing God's word to be the lamp in our darkness. In the world around us, we are a city on a hill. What guides us? If we are the lighthouse on that dark and stormy night. What guides us? The word of God. The word of God reflecting back, circling back to Jesus Christ. Do you see the circle here? That Jesus Christ is the light. We in him are in the light. We are therefore the light, and we are guided by the word that takes us back. What does the word tell us? That Jesus Christ is the light. That tells us that we are in the light. That tells us that we become the light. And how do we guide ourselves through the light? Because God's word tells us what to do. You know, you're dealing with issues in your life. Trust in God's word. Believe it or don't. If God be a liar, then forget it. God says he cannot lie. He is incapable of lying. Therefore, his promises must be true or it's fake. You know, and the bottom line is the Bible tells us right here that his word be a light into our path and a lamp into our feet. So you know what? You're dealing with issues in your life. You don't know how to overcome them. You've got depression going on in your life. You've got uncertainty in your life. You don't know what God's plan is for your life. You don't know how to talk to those people in your work. You don't know how to deal with the things at school. You don't know how to go throughout whatever's life trials is. You don't know how you can get through today. You've got questions about the Bible. You know what the Bible says? Get into the word. Because why? Because God's word is a light into our feet. It is a lamp into our path. And when you get into God's word, now all of a sudden you shine the light on the situation. Pastor Joe, he said it like this. He says, you know, he told the interns, we were in our Bible study, in our devotional on Wednesday. He says, you want to know how to be a good Christian? When somebody asks you a question, don't say, Pastor Luke said, Pastor Jim said, you know, they said on Wednesday, or I heard on Friday night, but rather, get into the word. The Bible says, test it. See if it's true. Put it to the test. You know, put it to your life, apply it to your life, because then you can see. Do it for your own self. Don't say, Pastor Luke says this. If somebody asks you a question, well, my pastor says. No, you should say, my word says, because that's what guides me. It's not me that guides you, because I can't live your life for you. You've got to live your life for yourself. And so you have got to take the responsibility to dig in to the word of God, to find out what the Bible says about your situation, find out what the Bible says about the calling on your life, find out what the Bible says about you. that you are a child of God, that in Christ there is no condemnation, that you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you, that your God is able to supply your needs, that nothing is impossible through God. You need to get into the Bible and read that, to understand that, to speak that over your life. Therefore, the Word of God lights the path to your feet. And now all of a sudden that path is clear, because now you can see that Jesus Christ is the light. And if you live in Jesus Christ, Romans 8:1 says that in Christ there is no condemnation. We know that we, in Christ, live in the light. And if we live in the light, we therefore become the light. And if we become the light, therefore we can influence the world around us to see the light. And we are guided by God's path, lighting our way. So in looking at contrasts, darkness brings condemnation. Darkness brings judgment. Darkness hates the light because its words and its deeds are exposed. Darkness has instability. Darkness, I went out of order. Darkness has no direction. But in the light, if we choose to live in the light, we know that Jesus Christ himself is the light. We know that if we live in Jesus Christ, we live in the light. And if we live in the light, we ourselves become the light. We're like glow sticks. And if we become the light, we look after God's word that lights our path and lights our feet and shows us the direction which we are to go. Therefore, we don't, like darkness, fall from one ditch to the next. Or like in darkness, we don't know the ground that we stand on because we know the foundation. We know that Jesus Christ is the cornerstone on which we stand. Like Jesus said, if you hear my words and do what I say, you'd be like the wise man that built his house on the rock. Because he was in the light. Now that's my paraphrase or my add-on, so that's not actually what the Bible says. But looking at the word, in conclusion tonight, in Ephesians the 5th chapter, verse number 18, Paul the Apostle says, "You were once darkness, but now you are light of the world. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the Spirit is goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." Here Paul the Apostle says, listen, you are the light. Don't go back to the darkness. Don't have fellowship with the things of this world. Don't go to the parties. If you just got over drinking and you're trying to get into God, don't go back to the parties that they're drinking and doing all that stuff. Don't get into that. If you're struggling with pornography, don't get into the computer at night. If you're dealing with something, he says, don't solicit with the darkness. Don't solicit with the sin. But then he goes on and says, but rather expose them. I circled this in my notes because I want to say this. That doesn't mean go out in front of the abortion clinic with the sign and say, you're going to hell. Because listen to what Paul the Apostle says. He says, expose them. For it is shameful to speak of these things which are done by them in secret, but all the things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. How do we expose the things of darkness? By ourselves giving the example of that which is contrary to it. By living a life of love, by living a life of light, by living a life of what God has called us to do, and not to solicit, not to ride the fence, not to go one way or the other, but to live a life, like Paul the Apostle said in the 8th chapter, to walk as children in the light. Did you guys get something out of that tonight? Praise God.